There is a change in the second reading. We're going to stay in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Listen to God's word. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous people who get what the wicked deserve, and wicked people who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life God has given him under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even a wise man claims he knows. Well, let me go back. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes is unique in all the scripture. You've probably sensed a little bit of its uniqueness already. It is the only book of pure philosophy. And what I mean by that is that in the book of Ecclesiastes, God does not speak. Now, I don't mean it that the book isn't inspired by the Holy Spirit and that it doesn't have a message for us, but nowhere in the book of Ecclesiastes does it say, "Thus saith the Lord," "Thus says the Lord," or that the Lord appeared and did this, the Lord said that. It's only from, and uniquely so in the scripture, from the human perspective. It is an empirical book. What can be observed? What can be seen in life, and then contemplation upon that. So it is a book of pure philosophy. In fact, it's one of the greatest books of philosophy that we could have. And in the book, from that perspective, although God is mentioned, we learn the limits of human wisdom. Because human wisdom does not understand everything and comprehend everything. There are limitations to our knowledge and there are limitations to our wisdom. One of the things that all of Solomon's wisdom could not do for him was it could not lead him to God. It could not get him beyond what is underneath the sun. Human wisdom cannot get us to God, cannot comprehend God. It's only the perspective of under the sun. Now, we're going to say more about that next week. So that's all I'll say about that, about the limitations that we have in our knowledge and in our wisdom in relationship to our knowledge of God. Last time we were together, we also mentioned that human wisdom cannot solve all problems. In fact, human wisdom for Solomon did not lead and cannot lead to happiness. One of the sections we looked at a couple weeks ago was from the first chapter, at the end of the first chapter, verse 16. I thought to myself, "Look, I've grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after wind, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. End of that reading. So for Solomon, what he experienced is that with all of his wisdom, the more wisdom he got, more so than any other, it didn't lead to happiness. And an illustration that we used was the movie from 1968, Charlie, which Cliff Robertson played the leading role. And he played someone who was mentally challenged, who underwent a surgical procedure in the movie, and because of that surgical procedure became a genius, but came to the realization a little further on that the effects of the surgery were not going to be permanent. In fact, in his genius, he was able to realize that the effects were going to be reversed, and he would revert back to the mentally challenged person that he was. Well, something like that was going on here with Solomon. Wisdom allows us to perceive the problems of the world. But one of the great burdens of that kind of wisdom is that wisdom is not enough to solve the problems. So it adds, really, the more we know, sometimes the more difficult life can appear to be. What's the saying, ignorance is bliss? Well, there may be in some ways something to that, because for Solomon, wisdom could not lead him to happiness. Wisdom couldn't even keep Solomon wise. Albert Einstein said, which one of my favorite quotes, he said, there are two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not certain about the former, which means he's not certain if the universe is infinite, but human stupidity is. That's what that means. Well, we're going to see, we see in the scripture with Solomon, with all of his wisdom, he did some stupid stuff. One of the things that hasn't become clear here in our exposition is that Solomon is the first king now, not Saul, not David, who actually conscripted his own people to serve him and his needs of building and of providing labor. Not just drafted into the army, but drafted into that kind of manual labor. Solomon is the first one to do it. So part of the riches and part of his splendor was built on the backs of his own people. And we would see in Solomon's successor, his son, how what Solomon did affected that lineage and ended up in disaster for the one who succeeded him. People just weren't going to take it anymore. But one of the really stupid things that Solomon did, supposedly in his wisdom, had to do with his wives. And I'm not at all suggesting that getting married was something that Solomon shouldn't have done. But it says this, he had, and this is 1 Kings 11. He said he had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines. And it says this then in 1 Kings 11, verse 3, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew, except to say what the scripture says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. This is the man who has been given the gift of wisdom by God. His wives turned his heart against other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. He allowed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had. And he mentions another god, Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab. Couple, not just gods, but detestable gods, probably somewhat for their for the practices of sacrifice and temple prostitution. And he allowed his wives to lead him astray from following God. So the gift that God had given Solomon, the very wisdom that God had given Solomon, did not keep him wise. But he became stupid in doing that. And there were disastrous consequences. Not in his life. God spared him for the sake of his father. But disastrous consequences, not only for his heir, but for all of the people of Israel. Because Israel then would become split from Judah, and it would not be what it once was in glory. So wisdom could not lead Solomon to God, the best of human wisdom and human thinking. Wisdom could not lead Solomon and make him happy. In fact, in some ways, it seemed to bring more grief. And wisdom could not keep him wise. Mostly, though, the thing that Solomon came to realize is this. The passage Janice read for us this morning, I'll read a little bit of it from Chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse 12. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. And what more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize, and here's what he came to realize, that the same fate overtakes them both. Person who's wise and the person who is a fool. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise person, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. And like the fool, the wise person too must die. Wisdom could not keep him from death. Wisdom could not make him be remembered. He had no power over life after him. Wisdom had its limitations. Although he wanted to be known and wanted to be remembered and wanted his life to go on, he couldn't do that for himself. No matter how smart we are, we're going to die. Unless God comes, unless Jesus returns before we do. So there are limitations to what humanity can do. Even with the best brains, even with the best of wisdom, there are limitations. We cannot know God, who God is, through even our best thinking. We can have a knowledge about God. We'll get to that next week. You know, it says money can't buy you love. Wisdom doesn't guarantee that you'll have happiness. Wisdom doesn't guarantee that you'll keep your wisdom. And it certainly doesn't keep us from dying. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there are really just three things that wisdom can do for us. Solomon says. And you can look up these scriptures. I won't take the time to turn to all of them. The first one is chapter 2, verse 24, where Solomon says this, eat, drink, and find satisfaction in your work. That's what he says we should do. That's the result of his wisdom and knowledge. He comes to that conclusion, three of them, that the best thing we can do in life, since we're all going to die, since all the other limitations of wisdom, is to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in our work. All the days of our meaningless lives, it goes on. Then in chapter 9, verse 9, he says, what we can do is enjoy life with your wife or your spouse. It's the best you can do, your work and your spouse. And then in chapter 8, verse 15, he says this, eat, drink, and be glad. That was a philosophy. It was called Epicureanism, was to make the most of each day. Eat, drink, and be merry, because it's exactly what Solomon says here, because tomorrow you die. That's the best wisdom has to offer us. And with that, according to Solomon, best thing you can do in face of the limitations of wisdom, eat, drink, find satisfaction in your work, enjoy life with your wife, eat, drink, and be glad, because tomorrow you're going to die. So human wisdom, the best that our minds have to offer from this book of philosophy, pure philosophy of one of the, you know, this wise person Solomon and his observances and his contemplation about what he observes, says that it's meaningless. It too is a chasing after the wind. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also madness and folly, but I learned that this too is a chasing after wind. Because like the fool, the wise person too must die. So wisdom is a good thing, but it has its limitations. And next week we'll talk more specifically about one of those limitations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.